Murphy, and distinguished ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Good morning on this cool Cape Town day. It's not too cool, not too hot, but it's just for us to be productive. So we expect the best ideas coming from all of us as we try and build our country into a stronger democracy, into a kind of a country which is performing as best as it could under the given circumstances. And for that, among others, we depend on you as the SSP. Your mandate would assist a lot. And then without much ado, given the fact that we are still busy concluding the tourism bill as put forward to this committee, there are obligations that are there, including transformation of the tourism industry, including an accelerated growth of the industry for it to contribute its share of growth in the economy, for it to contribute jobs and sustainable livelihoods to society as a whole, and we believe that together we shall be in a position then to add our bit to the national effort to make South Africa a better country for us to have a better quality of life for all. So without much ado, Mr. Khumalo with your team, I have the list here that is Mr. Khumalo, acting chairperson, and then let me allow you for 1 minute, and then you tell me when you are finished. Okay, so I know now. Let us then introduce also the commissioner, Ms. Tanya Ajam. Salaam alaikum. And then Mr. Khalid Dawood, salam alaikum. And then Mrs. Sasha Peters, good morning. Not here. And then Mr. Henry Exton, good morning. Mr. Exton, we will do one of the economics together, eh? Okay. So you have moved now.
Is that true? Yeah?
Yes. He came here, the young man.
He's earning a hell of a lot more than you.
It's because he's working a lot harder.
Government paid well.
So over to you, Mr. Kwado.
No, thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Let me express on behalf of the Financial and Fiscal Commission our sincere gratitude for the opportunity to come and talk to you on the Department of Tourism's budget. I think it's important that we as a commission are actually able to address a portfolio committee or a department like the Department of Tourism. That's not one of those departments that we normally get an opportunity to interact with at that level. But why it is important? It is important because as a commission, our primary responsibility is to Parliament and the legislature, and therefore on any matters that have to do with the financial and fiscal issues of the country, we are very happy to come and actually engage the Parliament on what we think is happening with the country's resources in terms of the impact on the ground. I think that's what is important for us. And I do hope that our interaction today is not I'm told that a year or two back, a team from the commission actually came to address this particular committee. I tried to check with my colleague here whether she was part of the team, and she was not. Obviously, I suspect that that happened in some of our absence. We probably sent some officials to come and address the committee, but I'm happy that today at least we managed to both myself and Ms. Ajam to come through and interact with the committee. And I must also say that any time you feel like you need us to come and talk to you about anything, you must feel very free to do that, because we are by law basically established to service yourself. Let me just start to go into the detail of the presentation. I think the letter that was sent to us was really about the budget and the strategic plan and the annual performance plan of the department, looked at in the context of the national objectives indicated in the President's State of the Nation address. And then what we will then try to do is to provide an analysis in the context of those key provisions that the letter basically speaks to. And we can, in the engagement, deal with other issues. I think we've taken the liberty of also trying to bring in the intergovernmental aspects of how the department functions, because we do believe that based on the fact that government delivery model changed in 2009 to an outcome-based approach, it is very important that what happens at a national level is reflected across the board, so that the impact of resources that are allocated, whether they are allocated to a national department, a provincial department, or a municipality, or the relevant entities that actually support those departments or organs of state, the impact of those resources ultimately is felt on the people. So it is important that when we look at the strategic plan of national departments, we also look at how they interface and link to what is happening at the lowest, I wouldn't say level, but at the lowest tier of government, which is the local government sphere, and how we can judge whether the plan actually will have the desired impact or will address the specific problems or challenges that have been identified. The challenges that need to be prioritized, we should be able to look at it in that perspective rather than just looking at what the national department does. So we do try and bring that aspect into it as well. Now, I am not sure how much, I know that some members here we have met in other committees, and I know that they would actually be very much aware about what the Commission does and what the responsibility and mandate of the Commission is. So there are a few slides that basically speak to that, which I don't want to really go into detail with or about. But I think what I would like to highlight on slide 4 is that we have made our submission in the context of the budget, of the overall budget, in February and March on the fiscal framework and revenue proposal. So quite a number of issues that arise out of any department's budget would actually have to speak to the constraints imposed by the fiscal framework. And thinking about the way forward, we have to also look at that. So this submission, we make it in the context of that submission, which is actually available on the Commission's website, but was tabled in Parliament as well. We have also made a submission on the division of revenue bill. In that particular respect, there are issues around the extended public works program, which this department also utilizes. And so when we speak about that, some of the issues that we raised around that specific grant are contained, are raised in the Division of Revenue Bill submission that we made in February and in March, actually. Now, just to give a bit of a background in terms of the macroeconomic and fiscal situation, we are all aware that the economy is growing slower than has been anticipated, primarily because of the slow recovery of the globe from the 2007-08 global economic crisis, which basically was felt in South Africa in 2009. And for those of you that follow the work of the Commission, to us, it is actually not a surprise, because at that particular point, when we made our submission on the division of revenue, we did indicate that the recovery, full recovery, can only be expected beyond 2015. That was our assessment based on our own macroeconomic models that we have at the Commission. And so it's not a surprise that we, for us, that we are actually faced with this tight fiscal environment. But I think it's important that within that tight fiscal environment, we are all aware that there is a lot of misallocation of resources, which basically means that a reprioritization effort and also a greater focus on the way in which the efficiency in which resources are utilized can still be used as a vehicle to cushion the fiscal from the global economic environment, which has meant that we are actually receiving revenue to support the expenditure requirement across all spheres of government. And so that is why, even though the revenue is declining, we still find that in real terms, government expenditure still grows, albeit at a lower pace than we would actually have required. And obviously the challenge of development, and particularly unemployment, becomes a very critical matter in that whole discussion. I think in that respect, with respect to unemployment, it's important to highlight that tourism as a sector is one critical player, and it's been one critical player during the global economic crisis. Apparently in 2012, 10.3% was the contribution to employment of the tourism sector. So that's quite a substantial contribution if one sets it in the context of what the unemployment or the employment situation that the country finds itself in. We can draw a lot of conclusions around that when we look at the trend, whether the sector is actually maintaining those levels of employment or is it growing. But I think that will come out in the presentation that Khalid is going to make. I think it's important that we are now in a situation where, whereas in the past we always have been collecting more revenue than we have been projecting, we find ourselves now in a situation where we are collecting relatively less than what we had projected. So we are now revising revenue numbers downward, as opposed to prior to the global economic crisis, where every time we project, we find that we've collected far much more, and we are able to do a lot more than we would otherwise have anticipated. The decisions that were taken there basically also assisted in cushioning the economy from the impact of the crisis. But the problem now that we are faced with is that state debt is increasing as a share of expenditure, and that requires some very tough choices going forward, especially if the economy continues to grow at the levels at which it's growing, and that is a challenge that we will have to be dealing with. Irrespective of that, what we know is that the 2013 budget made some additions to the baseline. Even though compared to the 2012 budget, those additions are relatively less. I think the point really is that we are in a tighter fiscal environment, and fiscal consolidation is actually taking place. Although from the commission side, we might actually be taking a slower than expected approach to it. There is fiscal consolidation that is taking place, and therefore the growth in the budget is slower than what we have witnessed in the past. That is the context within which we will analyze the budget of the disbursement. So let me ask Mr. Dawood to take you through the detail of the presentation.
Thank you, Chief Minister. The Department of Tourism, the National Department of Tourism, became a standalone department. And I think it was in terms of the recognition of the tourism sector and the role that the tourism sector can play in terms of meeting the developmental objectives of government. Now, this particular slide gives us an idea of what is actually the contribution of tourism to the economy. On the macro level. If we look at the trends from 2008 to 2012, the total GDP contribution was 309 billion rand compared to 290 billion rand in 2008. Now that's an average increase of 1.52% over the five period. Now that total contribution includes direct contribution in terms of the tourism sector, but also includes indirect contributions. In other words, other sectors that actually provide goods and services to the tourism industry as well. Now, what's quite interesting is that we know that the economic recession, global economic recession, has an impact on our African economy, and that impact is on many sectors in the economy. Yes, if you look at the domestic expenditure on tourism, we actually find it's been a 5 to 7% average annual increase over the 5 years. Now, the reason for that is at an international level, the international tourism industry actually went into a decline once the economic recession kind of hit many countries. So the strategy was basically to maintain or to cushion the tourism industry by actually promoting the local tourism sector. And that is exactly what the ASIC did to kind of counter that type of thing. Although, as you may know, international tourism during the same period actually did increase of the ASIC competition in other areas, which actually saw a decline over the 5 years. What it is also important to note is that infrastructure investment in tourism, which is both your public infrastructure as well as your private infrastructure, actually declined over time. Now, we know that from a public sector point of view, there was the World Cup stadium, and the public sector investment in tourism infrastructure may have increased. But this decline to a large extent declined in investment by private sector. Largely because of the decline in the economy itself and the difficulty in accessing additional resources to actually build the tourism infrastructure. Over the same period of time, what we do know is that there has really been a significant increase in total employment. Okay, the sector has been quite stagnant over the 5 years. Although, if we do look at the percentage contribution to employment, we know that 50% of people are employed in the tourism sector. So by mentioning tourism sector, it's quite labor intensive, and that is why one of the reasons why the tourism sector has been identified as one of the key areas for stimulating job creation over the next 20 years. Now, there's a couple of important policies that we have. Planning policies as well as the policies that have mentioned the improvement of the tourism sector. and I hope that it keeps like in the economy over the next 20 years. The one that told us that we are international, the other two friends, and in fact, it's just about tourism as being a key driver of growth and policy. Now, one of the causes of the development plan is also the creation of 265,000 jobs and also direct and indirect contribution to GDP of 499 billion rand. Now, if we look at what we saw in the previous slide, in this side of the year, we note that the current growth in total contribution is 1.5%. Now, if that growth were to continue over the next 2 years, we basically fall short of 150 billion rand of the NDP budget of 499 billion rand. The tourism was also mentioned in the sense of the national debt and also re-emphasized the importance that the sector plays in terms of population. But also very importantly is the sense of the national debt also mentions the importance that private sector should play in the tourism industry as well. And one of the key reasons that governments have identified besides the efficiency of taxing people for employing people in the industry. Now, the new growth cost, which is another really important feature that identifies tourism as an important role player, speaks about creating 225,000 jobs by 2015. So the NDP speaks about 225,000 jobs by 2020, and the new growth cost speaks about achieving the same target by 2014. There's definitely a juncture between these two policy documents. Possibly the reason for this is that when the analysis was done, the planning committee must have felt that the culprit of 225,000 jobs by 2050 is too optimistic given the current economic environment in the economy itself. Okay, well, this slide basically defines the intergovernmental structure, if you like, of tourism sector. In the national tourism sector strategy. And the way that the intergovernmental arrangement is configured is that it basically has interventions at all three scales of government, at the national position as well as local governmental level as well. Now, at the national level is the MINDIC, which is where the national minister as well as the NEC for tourism discuss and agree on policy and strategy for sector as a whole. The also at the national level is the South Africa Tourism Institute, which plays a role in terms of marketing for Africa, both internationally as well as locally as well. At the provincial level, the system is very similar. We've got the provincial department of tourism, which focuses on provincial policy and strategy. But then also you've got your provincial tourism agencies as well that focuses on marketing the provinces locally to other tourists as well. Now, at the local level, we have the local tourism bureaus and municipalities. The municipalities play an important role in terms of making sure that there are occupation plans that take place. And also at the same time as they relate to the local tourism bureaus as well, in terms of making sure that the integrated development plan seeks to and addresses tourism concerns such as consumers, such as security issues and so on and so forth. Right now, just to reiterate, tourism is a concurrent part in terms of the competition, and that is why we have that three all focusing on tourism, but different areas of tourism as well as the current functions as well. Moving on to the financing of the intergovernmental financing arrangement for tourism. At the national level, the Department of National Department of Tourism receives the unconditional transfer. But within this unconditional transfer, there's also budgets that is set aside for the public entities, the African tourism, as well as other sectors of authorities such as tourism incentive programs as well. There's also the conditional transfer for expanded public works programs, specifically relating to job creation. And this particular transfer, conditional transfer, is also something that can be utilized for by the provincial departments as well as local municipalities as well. Now, at the provincial level, this particular incentive is a contextual incentive. In other words, it focuses on the business sector, including tourism as well. And the total allocation for this particular sector is 356 million for 2013-2014. So departments basically can apply to the Department of Public Works, which is a transferring agent, who fund for co-creation projects focusing specifically on tourism projects. At the local municipal level, it's also a municipal CPWC incentive grant that is worth 690 million for 2013-2014. Also cross-sectoral, but local municipalities can apply for funding that relates to tourism specific projects. Now, at the local level, it's also the local tourism board, which I've mentioned. They are basically constituted of members from the municipality as well as from the private sector. And these tourism boards are basically funded from transfers from the municipality, but also subscription fees from the tourism sector as well. Now, if you look at the developmental agenda of government, and compared to the policy framework that governs tourism sector in South Africa, the national tourism sector strategy that was finalized in 2011 is actually a very good blueprint for the sector to achieve developmental objectives of government. It includes the key drivers of tourism, it identifies the basic dimensions. But also, what is quite important is to position tourism as a collaborative exercise between different sector departments, but also between different fields of government as well. Now, the successful implementation of the national tourism sector strategy can only take place if there is alignment of the departmental plans as well as municipal plans with the national sector strategy. And it was noted that when we reflected on the APC and the strategic plan of the national department, they have started implementing some kind of monitoring and evaluation framework for intending to implement an image framework specific to this particular strategy. Now, if you look at the prevailing economic environment, it is very unlikely that you will see a significant injection of new money into our tourism sector. Now, in order for us to achieve the national development plan target, it will be important for national development, national tourism department to actually identify specific interventions that actually have multiplied the economic sector. In other words, what are blockages that is inhibiting the growth of the sector? And can the national department of tourism do something to block those issues? So that the sector as a whole can actually grow at a faster rate. And moving on to looking at the budget of process department, the department has undergone a change in the structure so that it better aligns with the priorities that have been identified by the State of the Nation as well as the National Development Plan. Now, there are four main programs that have been identified. Administration, policy, knowledge services, international tourism, and domestic tourism. Just to note that the African tourism entity holds was in or under the policy and knowledge services program. Now, there is a number of ministerial priorities that have been identified by the department. Okay, one of the most important is the support of creative job opportunities. But also to address the issues as well as sector transformation and integration of tourism with regional partners as well. Now, we've mentioned already that the department is one top entity, and the main responsibility of this is actually to market traffic internationally as well as domestically as well. Now, looking at the 2030 budget for the department and evaluating or assessing what has been actually increasing and decreasing and doesn't speak to Tetralogies of the bottom. What we do know is that from 09, 06, 12, 13, there's only been a marginal incident real increase in the budget. Marginal incident came of the budget. Okay, in other words, the budget has increased in the real term, but at the rate of 1.8%. And the major reason for that is because of the macroeconomic fiscal cost of government. Of trying to ensure that we identify areas of cost savings and cost cutting. Not cost cutting, but rather areas of cost savings and reallocating them into areas of higher priority. Now, one of the areas that have actually, where cost reductions have taken place is actually worse than public entities, I think, tourism. And that funds have basically been reallocated to establish the department as a standard of the company. However, if you look at the EPS projection, we do see that in terms of real increases is 56.4% real increase over the EPS level. And the main driver for that is basically the domestic tourism. Specifically the program on the tourism business program, which has been shifted from PPI to the Department of Transport. And it's basically as well as infrastructure projects under the expanded public works program. Now, if you look at the relative share of each program in comparison with the total budget or total spending, we can clearly see that policy and health services program has actually declined quite in efficiency from 62% to 49%. And however, if we compare the relative weight of each program, the quality of knowledge service is still considering about 50% of the total budget by 2013-2016. However, if you look at the other programs, what is noticeable is that the domestic tourism is actually increasing significantly. And the main reason for that is the realization of the importance of job creation of tourism within the domestic sector and putting more funds into that particular area in the department. Okay, moving on to looking at the specific line items and how the growth of those line items have increased over time. What we know is that compensation of employees and student services increased by the largest shape between 2009-14 as well as 2012-2013. And the main reason for increase in compensation of employees was simply because the department became a standalone department. And for the new department. Over the NDF, that is only going to be increasing by 4.3%, that is for cost of learning adjustment increases, but also to scope outstanding basic scopes as well. Good and bad increases by 50% between 2019 and 2013. The rate of salaries for good and services were office costs associated with office rental, property payments, and 2013. The department actually purchased new offices, and correspondingly the rental vehicle declined. That obviously has a positive impact on savings by importing the department can therefore save with respect to payment of rentals over the entire period. Once the department was setting up as a standalone, the department actually utilize consumption to a large extent. But with the increase in the vacancy rate, we do see that the allocation of expenditure to contractors is actually coming down over time. We also note that Toronto and subsidies will increase over the 18 period, and that's specifically because of the additional funds that has been made available for the tourism engagement program. So that's particularly the issue that picture that was going to be told about the resources and stuff is for charity about how to do the civil department. Now, if we move on to the safety performance, in other words, how well this department actually is doing the budget. And this is because of people who helped us with the discussion and this also the way he is able to treat his elephant. But also at the same time, it has an idea of the department is supposed to acquire additional contact or otherwise we the department has sufficient time to perform this point. Now, if we consider the figures of 2011 and 2012, we see that the department has actually improved between the 96.5 and 98.8% in 2011 as well. Now, if we compare 2 years, we know that the same program are not understanding in the two particular years. In other words, in 2011, transportation and domestic goods are understanding, but in 2012, it was basically the basically international tourism, international tourism mainly. So, it doesn't appear that there is an underlying chronic problem in a particular video of the important service delivery function. But the others either because they were programming on the department or otherwise of unforeseen events arising and not being able to respond to those unforeseen events. Okay, if we do the same consideration of the training according to the main actions of the department, we note that in 2011, capital assets were understated by 4% and profit by 6%. And the reason cited for that was that they were ready to open for currency of security instruments at that full asset trade, but was transferred out of the part of the company when the deal closed. Whereas in terms of cross transfer, 20% of the market was subsidy, did not be obtained because the department did not need the criteria for the transfer. In 2011, 2012, goods and services were understated by 10%, capital savings by 10%, and compensation of exports by 10%. Now, the reasons cited were, I think, was 6.9 million rand actually canceled, as well as making the rest of 9.2%. Now, the department doesn't really provide any explanation of why that issue was canceled. Perhaps it was that the department didn't require that particular service. All this is the other reason for specifying an annual report. Now, although the department mentioned that underpinning of compensation of employees was the source of the existence of land from opening, it was actually reconciling with the performance information. Because in the performance information, the department said a vacancy rate target of 6%. In other words, reducing the vacancy rate from 9% in the previous year, 2% in the next 12. So it hits the target with the time screen on compensation employees, suggesting that either that the effect that it is going to that particular line item, or otherwise the human resources function is not actually perhaps speaking with the budgeting section, so that they are aware of what the budgeting implications are on those folks. Okay, now moving on to the business 2013 for 2012-2013, we could take later figures up until 2013, which is just ago. What we do notice that 95% of total budget was fixed by 2013, dropping to 92% for the same time last year, and again for the stock of 92%. So what this does suggest is that there is a likelihood that the cost may overspend the budget. If it does not, for example, take into consideration that it is to cut back on expenditure to meet all the departmental budget for the program. Okay. Now, that's kind of the issue. Look at it, looks quite ridiculous. But the major reason for that is basically disbursement to the public entities that actually control them in June, September, as well as in January as well. There are other transfer payments that are going to households as well, and it seems like the department basically cannot forget all of the transfers and basically make the transfer payments in one lump sum to all of the various beneficiaries. From a public expenditure point of view, the department can actually increase saving if it was pulled out of existence by selling the cost of payment and stuff, the 3 months for each person. Okay. Now, moving on to sutras and vaishnava sutras. There is an amount of money as per 3,000 occurred on sutras and vaishnava sutras. It was referred to 11 stars. And left 20 as a result of unique speakers that could not be recovered. The regular expenditure of 50 for 2 volume when it is picked up in 2012, and that was largely because business plans were, there were changes to the business plan without approval for EPWC. Further, there's been a policy investigation into this matter for 51 projects. A further 11 projects have been identified for this forensic investigation. Cases have been handed over to the African Police Service. So that process is still not being completed. At the time, the annual report came in was published. Now, when we look at all of the information that we've just gone through now, some of the is the issues or some of the main ideas or main issues that came out was that it was very difficult to achieve the overall service related impact of the total development group budget. Because the African Forest Service, the annual report is not consolidated to the Department of Public Service. You know, quite a big portion of the Department of Public Service to the African Forest Service. And it's difficult to pick up to what extent how the African Forest Service actually seems to contribute to the objective of the department. I think the biggest challenge for the department is to make sure that it is value for money for the funds passed the third to households as well as to the African tourism. And the forensic positive investigation which identified earlier is basically points to a lack of proper internal control related to corruption. Monitoring and evaluation of cost savings is very weak in government departments. So not just the issue for the Department of Transport, but it's an issue with other city departments as well. Now, when we compare the 2013 budget guidelines by National Committee with what the department is basically spending, we did pick up that the department is spending more on investment activities, that is, in this particular guideline. Such as job creation program, as well as training and capacity building programs as well. Now, funding of additional food infrastructure is quite clear. There's not really a relationship to how the particular priority is going to be tackled. Funding to do strategy for all the direct funding of food infrastructure. We also seem to be an overlap of responsibilities between the African tourism as well as the Department of the College. Marketing of Africa internationally as well as domestically. In terms of the department's strategic and annual performance plan, they also speak about marketing for Africa. But the budget document and the ACB-ACB doesn't make clear or clarify what the respective mandate or how that particular function is actually focused on by the future, by the ACB as well as the department. The overwhelming envelope of the department is basically considered upfront. And if you look at the budgetary figures, there's definitely a budgetary tension between the allocation that goes to the African tourism as well as the Department of External Activities. And then finally, we will probably see a passing tension, and not a major passing tension for unconditional grants. Although substantial grant funding for job creation initiatives by the DCWC is available for departments. Partners to apply for both at a national level, but also at a provincial as well as a municipal level as well. Now, when we look at the performance of the department, in other words, how well the department performs in terms of its beginning performance budget, and I think this is important in the context of assessing whether the considerations in the strategic plan are actually realistic or not. The department actually made 92% either made or exceeded 92% of all its targets in 2011 2012. Okay, and by program, administration made or exceeded 92% of its targets, quality and value service, 88% international tourism, and looking at domestic tourism. And if we compare that those public schools or other departments in the university, quite a high rate of poverty for public. And the major reason cited for this was basically that there was a better access and response to some of the initiatives, such as, for example, more workshops for campus. That specifically interested where some topics were actually clear. Now, what's interesting is that the Department of Tourism did not oversee this budget. Yes, it exceeds target by 50%. Although, when we look at how much basically is our marginal budget, nevertheless, programs are either implemented efficiently or some factors fall into the budget to accommodate for uncertainty going forward. Now, the indicators, the first indicators of the department is, are generally our public policy. And it's also the continuity of indicators from 2010 to 2012, which basically suggests that there are some immediately accounting indicators that are actually in place. The department also includes a good practice which you don't come across in the many departments, which is basically having a better review of the strategic plan, annual targets, as well as resource allocation, and then noting these changes in the annual report. However, it is unclear why some of these indicators in 2011 are not reported on in 2012. For example, the percentage of following efficiency and responses provided for each 55 times. Now, this particular indicator was reported on in 2011, but if we check in 2012, we find that that indicator has gone wrong. Either still these are not published in the annual report, or otherwise the department is not tracking a particular indicator. So we felt that there were some indicators that are not very important, which should still appear in the annual report. Areas of improvement are the following. We noted that in some cases, for example, in the administration program, they quantify based on the percentage. Now, the department may know what the percentage may be, but for all of that purposes, good practice suggests that they also have a corresponding number. So what does 90% correspond to in terms of numbers? Is it 20 or 25 or 30? Some indicators, for example, are not measurable. For example, the business implementation of the World Trade Center plan. Now, from an outside point of view, it will be difficult to know whether 50% of the plan has been implemented, unless that is quantified in some kind of measurable terms. Indicator definitions and targets are also not consistent. For example, it's possible to speak about number of tourism information gateways that are operational, but the targets speak about framework for national tourism information gateway development. Okay, so the one speaks about the number of gateways, the other speaks about developing a framework. So there's also inconsistency between what the indicators state and what the targets are speaking about. However, overall, the AG did not make any material findings on the reliability and validity of the performance information in the department. In other words, it found that generally the performance indicators are very important. Now, when we compare the alignment of the strategic plan and budget for 2013 with each other against the sequence of development goals, what we can notice is that the progress in the strategic plan is in line with the big goals. Although the target of 225,000 jobs related to tourism by 2015 may not be achieved at the current growth, suggesting that the NGP growth at 2050 is low in the future, given to the budget economic environment. The department adhered to 2030 budget guidelines by re-evaluating the baseline budget and identified savings and areas of cost reduction in the strategic performance plan. The equipment funding for EPWC projects is increasing, but only increasing by about 3 to 5%. So one expected that the funding for EPWC would have gone up a much larger amount. Especially with the emphasis on jobs here in the ECB, but also in the national tourism sector that is here. response to issues of performance information from the ACP are similar to the issues that we picked up in the analytical. For example, baseline power indicators for businesses. Some baseline don't seem to be accurate. For example, the industry rate of 11.5%. In the analytical school, we don't know vacancy rates were sitting at 9.4%. So either the vacancy rate may have increased, or the baseline may not have been calibrated. So moving on to the industry registration, our chief of staff talked about the annual submission of the book to Parliament, and including in that submission are the idea of registration, wider recommendations on the intergovernmental school relations. Now, in terms of the recent submission that we have made, relating to unemployment and job creation, the agency recommended that the government should actually redirect funding to activities that directly or indirectly create jobs. And we've identified a number of sectors, including the hospitality and food services sector. And government responded by saying that there are a number of job creation initiatives that are being implemented. But when you look at the natural resource of tourism, we do see that we are interested in direct spending from consumption to engagement and promotion of jobs, specifically with regard to the Federal Public Works Program as well as the Tourism Program as well. Also, a recommendation has been made in 2009-2010 relating to the Federal Public Works Program is that the job creation target group should target groups such as women, youth, and people with disabilities. And this should be included in the reporting of outcome issues. And government responded by saying that they support the reporting of targets for the Expanded Public Works Program. When we look at the National Department of Transport relating to National Department of Tourism relating to this particular recommendation, we noted that they do report on global job creation targets. In other words, they do report the amount of jobs that they created. And it is also in the strategic performance plan. However, it's not just aggregated to the level of 55 million number of jobs created even for the youth community. And we therefore suggest that it should be incorporated in the reporting plan going forward.
Thank you, Chair. Can I just ask Commissioner Adam to say a few words in
the Honourable Chair and members, I think that you've now probably inundated with facts and figures. So what I want to do is to take a step back and just highlight what we think are the strategic issues and what it means for oversight for you and the committee. I think that it's very welcome that there is a dedicated institutional mechanism aimed at driving tourism. Because as you know, Honourable Members, tourism is very diffuse in terms of who does it and where the money sits, right? And so this Department of the National Department of Tourism, they have the very difficult task of coordinating across all three spheres of government, like my colleague mentioned, right over here. They also have to coordinate across sectors because obviously crime and policing, home affairs, field development, all of that impacts on this department's performance and this sector's performance. They also have to balance the fact that a lot of work is actually carried out by agencies and not by themselves. And my colleague hasn't mentioned the international dimensions. But there are international opportunities that could be capitalized on. For example, with African growth, the rise of middle class in Africa, there is potential for regional international tourism that we haven't had before, right? So there's those aspects that need to be taken into consideration. But even further, most of the money is actually sitting in the private sector. So unlike education, if you look at the department's budget, you actually get the idea of what's been spent. If you look at this national department's budget, it's actually minuscule compared to what is actually being spent in the sector. And your role is, as the committee, is not only to look at the budget, but to look at the sector, right? Because if you don't look at the sector, you're not going to be able to unlock the potential value of tourism and ensure that the targets that we want to achieve in terms of improved employment and livelihoods are achieved, right? So I think that the strategic issue going forward, as my colleagues have said, is how can this department exercise sector leadership and coordinate across all of those things that I've mentioned, given that their own budget is likely to remain small and constrained over the medium term, right? So I think it's very important that as the tourism bill is finalized, it's actually matched by appropriate intergovernmental financing framework that actually speaks to each other. And those are some of the elements that my colleague mentioned. Now, we look at this and we are commenting only from what we see in the annual report and strategic plan. So the questions that we are raising might have been already considered by the department, right? So maybe these are areas that you can actually raise them, because most of the money that goes into tourism is not coming from the department. It's going to be channeled through provinces, it's going to be lying in agency budgets, it's going to be sitting in big cities, right? Because we know that Itikweni, Cape Town, Tshwane, that's where a lot of the tourist budget is, right? So the question is, how is this department going to coordinate planning across the sector, budgeting across the sector, employment creation across the sector, and also monitor and evaluate what is actually being done? Because if you look at what my colleague said, a lot of the money is actually being transferred to some other entity, right? Whether that entity be a tourism entity, whether that entity is a provincial department, whether it is a local government department. So it's very important that this new department actually has a very strong monitoring evaluation system so that we can say what we transfer, these are the impacts that we're going to achieve. So when the committee sits down and does the budget review and recommendations report, we hope that the engagement with the department can maybe shed some light on the thinking around these issues. The issues that we're raising, they're strategic issues, they're new issues, because all of what I said needs to align with the Tourism Act, right? But they are issues which the department is going to have to think about. And we hope that the committee will consider our recommendations. Even though they've been made in the past, they are still relevant today. And the question is, how do those recommendations be put into practice so that all the role players that I mentioned actually use the money at their disposal to actually support what one another is doing and to get synergies, because money is scarce. And there's unlikely to be a lot of new money to the sector. So with that, I'm going to hand back to Acting Chair.
Thank you, Tan. Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members, for the opportunity to present. We now hand ourselves
Thank you, and thank you very much for a very, very informative input and input that looks at strategic areas in the implementation of tourism, given the nature of tourism being a multi-stakeholder, multi-sectoral, and multi-level, governmental level, what do you call it? CM, multi-CM, this big sector. And given the fact that a lot of activities cannot directly be related to or be implemented by the Department of Tourism, it has to be implemented on an agency basis, and given the nature of the sector and the way you have looked at the disadvantage. And then, if I may comment on this hospitality, when government says, it starts with saying catering and transport should be reduced. And so now, as it prioritizes tourism, when now things become tight, tourism is first we eat. So I think there we've got to look into that, and then find an intervention and to be able to absorb that contradiction. The issues of parliamentary questions, and then I think I expect members to honourable members to raise perhaps whatever they feel about that, because I think it affects us directly, and the lack of internal control. But the last time we checked, the audit committee and then the internal audit was working as it should have. Perhaps the question that could be the depth of his or the depth of strategic outlook in those control mechanisms. And the issue of EPWP, we have been having some qualms as the portfolio committee around that. Human resources and budgeting not being synchronized, I think, is another issue that we have raised, among others. The issue as well of transfer and subsidies being transferred unconditionally, and as a result having difficulty in monitoring exactly how then they are used, and then in the control of the users of the funds, along with the issue of alignment and other issues. I think so before we respond, we shall have our tea break for about 5 minutes, and then we shall then come back and interact. It's a pity that we could not get this ablution area. What I advise the department to do is to send us a raft. Not a complete this thing, but it could be a draft midweek, last week. That would have done. And then as you are polishing up your inputs, then but at least we are having a draft to see through. I think you are a very, very important institution for our democracy, but not only for our democracy, for our survival as a country competing with the likes of China, India, Europe, America, and so forth. So we value your service, and with those few words, let us pray, and then when we come back, I shall then allow members to ask questions.
We were just sharing concerns. They are fantastic. They got thinking. They got us. They did very well. They did very well. I'm actually seeing a better picture. Am I right?
Yes. You see, when you come to the reality, you keep on saying that the process is just a series of hard for other nations. Those other nations, you don't get to lock with them and work like the others.
Yeah.
Okay.
And one thing is, and me actually specifically, and the department is setting targets. We will not achieve those targets if those people don't believe. We have the view as my colleague was pointing out to me. the last bit of the money is being spent on it.
That's the reason why.
Yeah.
Before it was working with the environmental fit, now it's
Exactly. Yeah, that's one of the what percentage of the money being affected by the three environmental money? We don't know. You see, it's not being separated from actual trend on tourism.
I'm going to go to the next one. Thank you. Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the committee. I particularly enjoyed the overview at the end, because effectively that's what we grapple with here in this committee, is all the synergies between the other agencies of the department and, you know, how they can operate effectively without. So it's important that we touched on that. But my question really was this, because it leads on from that whole issue. I mean, the department as we see it is like a clearing house, you know, transferring, and you can see it in the sort of spending pattern to various agencies to undertake its function of marketing and trying to promote tourism and its development. But does your mandate also then go beyond that, in the sense that we would be able to get a similar report from those particular other agencies that effectively are doing the job or happily contributing to the job of trying to reach the targets that we've set here as a tourist industry? So that's just a broad question, but one of the things I've picked up in terms of the report in the policy considerations, if you look at that page 5 at the top there seems to be a discrepancy, and I just wanted to get clarity, because there we talk about 225,000 jobs as a direct and indirect contributions to GDP of 4 by 2020. Okay, and it also has it in the front there, it also targets for 2020. But if you look at the the section at the back on page 15 where you're now trying to align your spending against the appropriate budget, etc. In achieving those goals, you talk about 250. Now, 5 years is a big difference. And they have got a discrepancy between 2020 and 2015 in terms of achieving that target. Is it just a typo error, or is it in fact something that, you know, that you've found that seems to differ? The last question, obviously, is that clearly the report is based on information that you have to hand from the department as opposed to investigative type, I assume, accessing of information. And I'd just like to find out, do you in fact, like an AT, go into a little bit of depth when you see an issue to try and substantiate it? Because, I mean, departments are renowned for producing annual reports, which could in fact be totally, you know, wrong, other than the fact that there is a certain oversight over it. So do you take the reports, you know, firsthand, or do you actually substantiate that report in any sense? And then as far as the report that you made about the questions to Parliament, well, I certainly haven't had a problem with the report, but what are the other departments doing in terms of tracking that device? Because I know there's been backlogs in many, many departments about it. And we sit with, you know, questions of maybe 300-400 going back, you know, over 6 months that haven't been answered within the prescribed 10-day period of which the executive should be held to account. What should be done here to ensure that if it isn't happening, I don't know this department is at fault here, but certainly what is there to track that? Thanks, Chip.
Thank you very much for the presentation done by the FSC. But as I was listening, I'm referring to page 13, funding of additional tourism infrastructure things unclear. I would love to just, if you can be specific on that one, because we have 6 years of government. And now, to me, it seems as if there is lack of communication between the FSC and the government. I proceed to page 15, whereby it says, indicator, definition, and targets are not consistent. There's an example made. And those two slides, my thinking, my discovery, I wonder whether I'm right or wrong, that there is less communication between the FSC and their department, the Department of Tourism, on some of these issues that were brought to the committee today. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I would like to commend the Fiscal and Financial Commission for the manner in which they prepared this report. It has made a lot of things clear now, and it has also given me at least some focus, some areas which we can focus on in order to fulfill our oversight function over the department. I also understand that as a result of your presentation, a number of questions come to mind, and obviously you are not the department and you cannot answer for them. You probably can make recommendations as they've done in the past, but I'm sure you can't have all the answers to the questions that are now being generated in our minds as a direct result of your presentation. There's a concern which my colleague had also expresses, that is the disjuncture which you referred to between the NDP and NGSS targets. So this will also have a bearing on the budget itself. In order to achieve a particular target, you need X amount of money. So I'm not going to ask you for solutions. There are some questions here that we just can't put it to you. That is put to the department. You spoke about the total contribution of tourism to GDP, 309 billion rand in 2012, which makes up 11% of GDP. And you commented that if it grows at the current rate, 1.52% per annum, that it likely will be short for 150 billion, as envisaged by the NDP target, which is 499 billion. Now, have you worked out what actual percentage it should grow in order for it to actually meet? Have you worked that out? That would give me some sense of where I should come to the department. So what has to be done to actually achieve that percentage growth to meet that target? My colleague actually preempted this question. He covered me on the 2022-25 versus the 2015 NDP target. That is juncture. Then there is another question, basically on page 12. Yeah, you spoke about fruitless wasteful expenditure of 23,000 rand from unused tickets. I suppose does this include the World Cup? Is it tickets dealing with festivals, etc.? Well, what does it? Do you perhaps know what that refers to? Some clarity on that. I'll just confine myself to those two questions. Thank you, Chair.
But I'm interested in that under collection of the revenue by Soya's billion rand. And I also, maybe I'm not linking it to the correction, but I find that the department has had to make a reduction of about 5.4 million in its budget. I think it is somewhere in the document on the strategy. I wondered whether these two are linked. The fact that we have not been able to collect all the revenue, and then department, I'm sure it wouldn't be tourism alone, departments not having to reduce on their budget, and the tourism department is about 5.4 million reduction that they have been asked to reduce. Now, on the EPWP, I think we have engaged the department on this issue. I was wondering whether FFC yourself, you have the same understanding as I, for instance, understood it. That at the time when, for instance, it was clear that there had been, I think, either understanding and also inadequate reporting, accounting by the department on the EPWP. The explanation that we were given implies that the department was not able to report and account, because those who were responsible for implementing the EPWP program and therefore reporting to the NDP and not done their homework. That was my understanding. I'm not sure whether you also put it the same way, because I see in your presentation you keep on hammering on the EPWP issue for the advantage of tourism. In which case then, if for instance the fault still lies with the department, we and the committee, we can go back to them and take them to task again. I'm not sure if this is what we are expected to do. Now, you speak of the rate at which the department is growing and its contribution to the GDP. And you are saying that if it grows at this rate, then it will decline. Inflation is that it will decline in the future. And yet, we all are, we know that tourism has been identified as one of those sectors that will contribute to the GDP and contribute to job creation. I think now I want to link this to what my colleague here has asked. Is the department aware? I mean, you have observed it as an expert, but have you made the department aware of this? That I say, even though, for instance, the strategy, they still hope to grow. But according to what you are discovering here, you are saying there may be a decline. Are they aware of that? And if they are, my question then to them is, what is it that they are doing to ensure that the students will decline? Well, as far as the local municipalities are concerned, our observation, you know, with the oversight visits that we have made several times to various provinces, is that actually both provinces and local municipalities have either a very small budget for tourism or with the local municipalities, they don't even budget for that. So what is your advice on this? What can you do? Particularly that the Department of Tourism does not, like other departments like education, health, for instance, human settlements, it does not transfer lump sum to public because the industry is not private, I don't know whether that is the reason. But there is this worrisome that actually at the local level, where the actual implementation, you know, should be taking place. Growth should be taking place, despite any budget, very little, and sometimes nothing at all. Because the municipalities will always say they've got other priorities, other problems. And meanwhile, it might be like in that very municipality, there's actually quite a lot of tourism potential in terms of the tourism attraction, but they don't budget. So it's one of the biggest problems. I don't know how you could advise us on this one. And the other thing for me, talking about the budget for the department as a whole, I have thought that, you know, one of the things that the community could do would be to encourage or even fight for the department's budget to be raised so that the department can be able, for instance, to perform some of the functions that we are talking about, the interventions that we are talking about, particularly the interventions now which the department itself seems to be stressing. The intervention on investment, you see? Yeah. But the minister, I must say, the minister actually is responding to one of my comments. He actually said the budget as it is, it is enough. So what do we do? What is it then that we must do in order to ensure that, you know, this coordination and implementation at the local level happens if we are not going to increase the budget for the national department. Okay, just the last one, about tourism labor. Talking about that there is a visible increase, for instance, I think, in terms of the labor and so on. But it makes me think of just one aspect, the hospitality industry, the hotel, for example. We do see people are employed there. But you also make another observation that in quite a number of hotels that I have been to, particularly I must say when we visited for the 2010, you know, preparing for the that big event, and also last year and so on, you find that many actually of the people who work there are not South African. So can you still talk of jobs increasing? Who are they increasing for? Is it an increase for South Africans, or is it just an increase in terms of numbers in the hospitality industry? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Apologies for my late entrance. If only
the department, this department were to advise tourism and transport to facilitate travel means, then I'm sure some of us will be very early for meetings. Thank you anyway. Chairperson, I must first of all thank, although I came late, but I must thank the presenters for the illustrious presentation, except that there are areas where I'm not seeing properly or I'm not understanding. Like, for instance, page 13, slide 2, summary of financial assessment, last bullet. Maybe, Chair, I'm overly consumed by the cash injection. Whenever there's talk of cash injection, I'm always having my ears hearing things, maybe sometimes which are not even said, because I'm overly enthusiastic about it. Can you please unpack that for me? Really, the department has got to be commended if the AG recommends or if the AG does not have any material findings or findings of significance, they can disqualify the department for they are obviously doing good. I want to find out also how serious are your recommendations taken by the department, or particularly this department we are dealing with, the department we are talking about, because they are very serious recommendations here, which if implemented, they would contribute towards the implementation of the NDP as well as job creation particularly. I'm noting here the recommendations on the what job creation, the engineering of job creation, because there are areas where I feel more emphasis should be made to appeal or to enforce some of the recommendations to the department involved. Unfortunately, the Department of Tourism is always affected by the operations of other departments, and I don't know how you could help towards building synergies as well as help towards building synergies between governmental and the departmental operations, because the Department of Transport and Tourism, look at me, the Department of Tourism is always affected by the lack by the efficiency of other departments. I'm just wondering how serious your department is, in how serious your recommendations to the department are. Thank you, Chair.
Are you okay?
I'm okay, sir.
On page 3, the issue of is the debt increasingly for capital expenditure, therefore, a potential to increase productivity and therefore enhance the capacity to pay, in your view, or perhaps are we having more debt and the debt increasingly is on consumption that is unlikely to make us to be able to repay the debt? The analysis of the increasing debt, I think we need a bit to understand that, because it is in the interest of our country. And a lot has been said about debt, but the argument is that if debt is going to make your capacity better to pay, then you can go on with the debt. I think that was the question I was asking. And then secondly, our content advisor wanted to contextualize some of the things from our side, and then Steph, let us interact, and then thereafter you can then respond.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have two issues, Chairperson, that maybe I would like clarity on in the context of the presentation and some of the questions that have been asked. One, it has to do with new money. I'll use the credit that I used by the presenter. If we look at the budget on slide 17, page 9, there is that decrease in terms of policy and knowledge policy. But if you look at the total budget there, it still keeps at 49%. Acknowledged from 62, and that is where transfers to SAT sit. So now, that means you still have a huge lump sum of money that is transferred by the department to SAT, and it leaves a little for any other thing. And also, if you look at the increase now on domestic tourism, I think that kind of sharp increase that you see there will be based on 319 million that comes from DTI, which also for me is not new money as such, because it's money that has always been there but administered in another department. Now, if you look at the whole budget, therefore, for tourism, that percentage increase for me is too little. I understand the question, the question that was asked, and the assertion by the minister that there is enough budget for tourism. But we find there is a lot of strategies that the department has. If you look at the strategic plan in terms of the last financial year, things like that, but it's difficult to implement those. So in the light of all this, is it possible to have new money? Because I think there is a lot that can be done. But the only issue here is the baseline. To say we have this baseline for MTF. So still on that baseline, the department still has to cut based on fiscal arrangements. To say all departments must cut. So is it possible that you can have new money given all this? Because other than that, you have all these strategies that have been developed by the department, but they cannot be implemented. Meaning, now if you look at targets, which leads me to a second point. If now you have these targets that have been set, the issue of alignment is another issue I'll talk to you. But if you now look at these targets, because these targets are set on the background of all these things having been implemented over the years. But now we are saying there is no budget to implement these things. Yet we have targets. So meaning even the concern that is being raised now to say that 499 billion in terms of the NGP and NTFS that we are targeting, we will see a very steep decline over the years in terms of actual achieving the target, because everything else that you need to do to achieve this target, you are not doing in time to prepare for you to achieve this in 2015, 2020, and 2020. So that's what I'm saying. All I'm saying about the new money, to say, if you want to achieve this target, is it possible? Because the thing is, we have the BRR that the committee will every year will then produce. And the question was, well, how serious are those things taken? Because for me, if those things are taken seriously, then we are able to implement all these strategies to then be able to meet these targets. So that's what I'm saying, all this about increasing the baseline over the MTF. Is it really possible if all these things can be analyzed, maybe the committee together with you to say these are the serious issues that we need to look at outside this meeting, to say these are the serious issues that we look at in order for us to meet these targets, because the concern is really we won't be able to meet these targets. So that is why. The last one check is on the alignment. If you look at this, we have the new road path, the SS 25 for 2015. Then you have the National River Development that also talked to the 25 in 2025. If you look at that one, I think it was taken kind of directly from the National Tourism. So those two talk together, but then you have this alignment. So for me, the issue there is about the compounding percentages that we use, because the thing is, when these targets were set, you had different projection systems, or I don't know how you call it, in terms of economy, that we use to come to crunch this figure. And I think the problem is there. So for me, I'm not sure now if maybe at FFC you have some macroeconomic analysis tools that you can subject all these figures to, so that together with the department, we can say these are the realistic targets. Because at the moment, we are chasing different targets. The committee has already made some recommendations to the department to say they must align to the NDP. As already the NSS, in a way, is aligned to the NDP until 2020. The aim is to then extrapolate projections to 2030. But the 2030 target is not a moving target, because both the NSS and the growth, the NDP are talking to the sector. So it's a question of a macroeconomic analysis that maybe you can use to say, similarly, these are the figures that we can take for tourism, so that when we motivate for budget, at least we all come from the same understanding. Because currently, the community will base their recommendation on different types of documents and targets. And for me, that is not a workable arrangement, because at the end of the day, if the department reports, they will be reporting according to the NTSS mainly. The NDP will be incorporated to say we are one to achieve NDP, but mainly the blueprint would be the NTSS, and NTSS does not talk to all of them. So those are the two issues, the issue of no money and the system that we can use to crunch good targets that we can always toward. Thank you.
Yeah, in fact, I think because of the new money act, we got to prepare that PRR and make recommendations. But when you make recommendations, it has got to be based on workable recommendations and constitutional recommendations. Because in some instances, we make recommendations that belong to the cabinet, to the executive, instead of parliament. And then the issues of then modeling, as he has put it, what model then we use given the misalignment, which model would be best to predict in the future. Thanks.
Thank you,
Captain
and thank you, honorable member, for the comments and questions. I will try and respond to the more, can I say, strategic level questions, assisted by my colleague, Ms. Adam here. And then some of the technical questions I will ask that relate directly to the presentation. I will ask Khalid to speak to those. Let me start off by saying again that the primary stakeholder for the Financial and Fiscal Commission is Parliament. So I am not overly concerned when we make recommendations and departments ignore them, because I trust that these recommendations were made to Parliament, and Parliament as whole, if Parliament believes that these recommendations make sense, Parliament must hold department accountable, because there is one side to the thing. When we make recommendations, the Minister of Finance, when he tables the budget, he actually lists those recommendations and government response, because the Minister of Finance must collate and respond on behalf of government when he tables the budget to Parliament. Now, if the Minister of Finance responds says that government agrees with the Commission or supports the Commission's recommendation,
it's really now up to Parliament to ensure that those recommendations are fed into departmental program. So if we are to present all of those recommendations and the respective responses from government, which you think is a matter of public record because it's part and parcel of the budget documentation, we will basically say we can track this recommendation that we made and can we pick up the response of this department. Now, if we can't pick it up, we can come back to Parliament and say, irrespective of what any other entity says, because the important part of the Commission's mandate is that it's an independent institution. So if a department comes here and says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things, we don't have to agree with that department. If we don't agree with the department's response, we will actually say to Parliament that we actually do not agree with the department. What the department told you is what they wanted to hear. We don't agree with that. Now, if we come back to the issue of the expanded public work program, the first thing that I will say here is that when this grant was introduced, the Commission raised very specific issues in terms of the design of the grant and how it will then be allocated. So, from that point onward, we have been having issues with balancing the numbers. I can tell you that the finance committees in Parliament of both houses have had long-running battles with the Department of Public Works, with municipalities, with provincial departments, around how expanded public works money is spent. Because it's one thing transferring money, it's another thing accounting for what you have spent the money on. And actually telling us, because it's about job creation, and if we cannot, if we can see that this money has been transferred, but we don't have the numbers of what the money has gone, there will always be a problem, and transfers might not actually happen. So from a design perspective, there are still issues that the Commission is still wrestling with the Department of Public Works, which is a key department that drives the expanded public work program. So it will find itself in a range of other factors that are actually participating in those job creation programs. But so there is an issue which is not peculiar to this particular department. All that this department has to do is to ensure that the money that they receive, that they transfer for those purposes, actually has the numbers that actually pay for what this money is for. If those numbers are not there, the money will not be enough. And that's part and parcel of the division of a revenue bill or division of revenue provision. So it's an important aspect of way in which the EPWP actually operates, that that some technical issues that are not limited only to this department. So we can actually come and talk to this committee again around that, because it's a very big issue, which we can actually separate and come and brief you around how it works or brief the support structure for the committee so that they can actually give you briefing notes on what the issues are with the EPWP. We have made several contributions or submissions to Parliament around this particular matter. The issue of, I think Chairperson, you raised the issue of the story that we raised in the presentation deals with job creation through this hospitality industry. And what you are raising is that discussions around prioritization and saving basically talk about your catering, cut down on transportation, cut down on all of these things, which are part and parcel of the hospitality industry and what it actually does. And I must agree with you, because that's the core, that's the core of the problem, which I will link now with the issue that was raised around the budget in provinces and even in municipalities around tourism and the amounts that are actually budgeted. Because once you start talking about catering and travel and all of those kinds of things in the context of government funding, that's a no-go area. So you need to, it's not a priority in terms of what government approach is. And it is a soft target. But obviously the implications are that any small businesses that are in that sector basically must, of necessity, they must go. So the choice is basically around what are you catering for in the travel. It's now from a functional point of view, how does the national department support provinces in protecting resources that are actually going into that and ensuring it? And as my colleague said, the money is not in the public sector. The money that's being talked about is in the private sector. The public sector must facilitate for those industries to actually grow. So you can do it directly by being the biggest client, which means you can feed a lot of people and travel for strategic plans, you can go to Kruger National Park. So you can always do that to support all of these projects. But in terms of choices that you have to make, it's not choice. Now, but to come back to the honorable member around the budget and the minister, saying the budget is enough or insufficient. It's a big issue, because what is important is that when you prioritize tourism as a driver in terms of where the economy must grow, in terms of job creation, and it's been prioritized like that, and that leads to the jury content advisor. Yeah, it leads to your question now about, are we having the correct base now? So this is a new department that we must actually do. We must actually know. Take that into consideration, that when you start a new department, it's either you start from zero and base it on the functional assignments that you've given to this department. And it's not only at a national level that you must be looking. You must be looking across the board, from national, provincial, to all the way down to the local level. The division of revenue process at this point in time is very sector-driven, because the medical division is a political process. So national priorities will automatically receive relatively more money. Now, if from a vertical division point of view, the sector has not created a case and it's got a poor determined baseline, you will then have consistently this kind of a problem where the resources are like this. Now, if you go down to a province, why provinces, the provinces, you've given indicated, honorable member, that there are very many budgets for tourism. A very soft spot. The equitable share does not make any direct allocation to tourism. So tourism can only get money if you have to lock it and say this money is for tourism. It will have to come from a different dimension. So either you lock it for conditional grants at the national level, and say we want a conditional grant to reinstate tourism, to lock funds into developing tourism at municipal and provincial level. And that, again, the function, I think we presented the structure. The function that intergovernmental relation structure is basically to be able to do that for tourism. If it's not actually doing that in any ever way, what I can say is that once the medical division, the tourism is funded from the equitable sharing, primarily. So the provincial ESCO must take decisions on how they will allocate to the different departments. And in most cases, the key drivers are just education, health, and welfare. So if education and health take the bulk of the money, and as a result, if we are growing the budget for allocation at a slow rate, the demands don't change on the education and health side. In fact, some of them are actually increasing at a faster rate. What you then have is that trade-offs will have to be made. So you put more money into education and health. So the kind of discussion that we're currently having with provinces is around what role do we think provinces should be playing in the whole economic part and part of the economic development side of the provincial budget, which is against the social services side. And it's a big issue, because the system basically is designed in such a way that it's more targeted at business than at economic development. So in fact, if you go to the formula itself, the indicative allocation for economic activity is just 1% of what you have there. So that is a problem that must be dealt with at a sectoral level. We can't just deal with it at a provincial level because there's so much competing demands and trade-offs that have to be made. And so it's unlikely that we will see any big changes in provincial or local government budgets for tourism outside of a direct intervention by a sector as a whole through that structure. That is the most important thing in terms of changing or dealing with the issues that we're talking about. And by the way, I can say that we can actually assist you. We're actually looking at some of those targets and what you, we do have some models in the commission that that we actually run to do some of those things. So we can actually provide that assistance. We will be in touch with you. Harik will be in touch with you and can actually follow up on that. There were some questions. Honorable Farrell.
Yes, sir.
You asked whether, because we tend to use official documentation, whether we actually can go into the entities themselves, because quite a substantial amount of money goes through transfers to the entities that must implement. Yes, we can. It's really a question of yourself, if there's something that you want to know about SA Tourism and what it does and how it links to what the broader departmental objectives are. You can actually request us to do that. Anybody who actually receives money from the National Revenue Fund, Provincial Revenue Fund, or the local government, we have the power to actually go in and actually look at what they do and advise and make recommendations to Parliament. So it's really possible for us to do that. I think in terms of the targets in the NGP and NDP and what the discrepancies are, I will leave that to Kali. But you know, this thing, the one came before the other. The one that came before did not have as part of the underlying assumption the global economic crisis as it impacted. So sometimes if you then stretch, use the same number and stretch it to a later age, you are making an assumption that at some point we will recover and we will go back to where we were. And the assumptions that government made that probably were at the basis of the diagnosis report were of an optimistic view of the impact and the time that the global economic crisis actually take to work itself out. It's actually longer. We took a three-way view. We had one that we said with a business as usual, so it's very quick and it's going to go. And then a moderate view, and we also took a very serious view. But we liked more, in terms of our own assessment, we liked more the severe view because we thought it was going to last longer. And that's basically what transpired. So that scenario basically can also explain why some of these numbers just stay the same, even though you had 2015 and then now you have 2020. So you find that it's still a helpful number. So I'm happy that explains that. Then there are some questions around whether we share or we discuss with the department. It's a very straight, not really. We haven't actually interacted with the Department of Tourism. I've been with the Financial and Fiscal Commission for now, I think, my 12th year. We have never actually interacted with the Department of Tourism. So I can say that at the provincial level, we have had issues from departments that say, no, we can't actually get money for this, and then they always refer them to, why don't you deal with the National Department of Tourism? That's how we can actually deal with this kind of issue. But we've never really had that kind of interaction. So that's a very straightforward answer. But what we are saying, we did not have to go and question because we use information that they have actually published. And for us, if this information is published for Parliament, it must be accessible so that when Parliament actually raises this, they shouldn't be questioning how do you arrive at 19% instead of this kind of thing. It should be information that is accessible. So even though, and I must say that even though when the Auditor General says I find no material issues with this type of information, all that means that at the bigger level, it's not such a big problem. But as we move forward, because this is performance information, and what we know is that performance information was being piloted, but very soon the Auditor General will be making an opinion, so you can actually be qualified because your information is inaccessible. So when they raise those issues, that no, this does not make sense. It's just giving a guidance that as we move forward, when we start really saying we're passing an opinion on the basis of performance information that has been given and audited, you can actually get a qualification. So if, when it's highlighted, it's just saying to you, can you attend to this and make sure that it's right. So that is the context in which we treat some of these things, its accessibility and its measurability that is important. So we don't need somebody to come and say, no, this 90% is due to the fact that some level. It should be very clear, and if we have questions about dealing with substantive ones. Honorable Shah, you basically asked the Honorable Shah.
Yes.
Right. You asked a question around what the growth rate would be that would be that would enable the department to get its NDP target. I'm sure Khalif will tell you that, but it's something that you can probably model it too. So our models can generate those numbers. If we don't have it here, we will supply it at a later point. The issue around irregular expenditure, I think let me leave it for Khalif to respond to. The issue around the under collection of revenue, the 12 billion rand, definitely it's the driver to department having to cut down on their part. So, and it was across the board. The story is, if you are under collecting on your revenue, and I think most of it is not really cutting spending. Because if we look at the numbers that have come out of the department, there's one department that actually let go of something like 4 million in 2000. And that's the first time that voluntarily the minister requested that those departments that have got money can actually release some money so that we can fund the Department of Higher Education. Some departments released about 4 billion. Just as like on your FTEF allocation. So if you request money because you've got plans to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but the plans have not been put together, the money is reflecting in your budget. So what we're saying is that there is money in the system, either that is being used wrongly, inefficiently. In other words, there's a lot of corrupt practices. So if you aim in those, you are able to find that you've actually saved quite a lot of money. There's money that is used for expenditures or for purposes that are really not contributing to the core functions of the department. And that is where these things have actually come out. So, for example, some departments have saved a lot of money on travel simply by reducing the number of people that fly from between Cape Town and Johannesburg or Pretoria. So you reduce that and you find that you start your budget. So instead of ending, you know, there's a time when departments, when they come here to table their budget, they will have a very big party before and have another party afterwards to celebrate that everything went well.
Yeah.
And it's not only two people or three people, it's the whole. So you had all of those things. Now, just by reducing that, there's a lot of money that has actually been saved. And so those savings that you find there with money that you requested to give up over a period of time, and then find that, no, actually we are able to give this up because we don't need it. So there are very few departments that have overspent. If we just look at that and say how many have overspent their budget, very few, if any. So it basically means that there is money somewhere, understanding is there. So there is money that is there that is not being utilized, and you find that if you reduce the money, because I must say that we, Financial and Fiscal Commission ourselves, we were requested to cut our budget by, I think it's 3%. We were requested to do that. And I was like, but why do we cut our budget when we have all of these problems that we say we have? But we had to, but we still managed to do what we were supposed to do. And so it basically said, if you tighten a little bit, you do things differently, and you find that you are still able to do what you are supposed to do. So that is where the cut, we haven't gotten to a point where the cut that some of the countries in Europe have had to endure, which is really fiscal austerity. We haven't reached that point in South Africa. Because all we've been trying to do is to reprioritize and reallocate our resources according to our size, because of the lack of a better way. But I do agree that that actually does have internally, if you don't know what is happening internally in the department, it does sound some messaging about what is actually happening. But it does not take out of the picture that the responsibility must be courted, because there's no point in having a big strategic plan and having all of these responsibilities for provinces, for municipalities in the broader development plan about what must happen in the tourism sector, but we don't then have the resources. We don't know. We haven't actually coded what this means. And that is the missing part that, Jerry, you are raising, that we can actually try and work out and see where it can get us. Let me, at this point, give Tanya, if you can just come in, and then Salim, if you can say a few words. Tanya.
Yeah, what this hearing is quite interesting. Let me just give you about five, and not more than 10 minutes, because it's time constraint.
With a question made by the oil minister about yourself, the fact that so many foreigners are employed in yourself, and I think that's justified, because the issue isn't on job creation, it's employability. If our young people are employable, they'll be able to find jobs elsewhere. If our young people are not employable, they will be creating jobs for foreigners to occupy. So I think that's really important. Then there was the question, what is the link between revenue under collection and visa? And I think that they are directly linked. Because when we had the recession, we were good, we were running surpluses. So we had this for sight, we had money to keep it inside, right? So what we said is, let's just cut back on spending, like I said, let's actually spend more on infrastructure, and then we'll grow the economy, and we'll get more revenue, and everything will balance out. Unfortunately, this recession has continued so long that we're at a stage now where I think it isn't unsustainable, but if we continue growing, then we could actually end up like Greece, Spain, Italy, those countries. So please advise this link there. This is a question from the chief. This debt, okay, is it increasing job potential and revenue potential, or is it on consumption, right, okay? I think that's difficult to answer, because we can't just clearly demarcate. Because you can build infrastructure, but if you don't maintain it, you're not going to see the revenue potential. Having said that, we know that there's a huge problem across all 3 years on the personnel expenditure. So we find personnel expenditure increasing and climbing out of expenditure. So we know you're having a teacher but there's no classroom. So you're having a nurse but no reason, that, okay? So we need to get that balance right to make sure that we get optimal productivity. And then to just finally just conclude on the issue of the different reconciling positions, I think you're right. It's different methodologies used. It's different times. Like I said, because one occurs later, so later there's more information. But in our model, we should be able, as Steve said, to be able to do something about that. I'm going to hand over to Ollie to bring you some information.
Yeah, I don't have much to say. I think the acting chair basically covered most of the terrain. Just on a few issues of clarification regarding some of the issues that were raised. regarding the disjuncture between the National Development Plan and the New Growth Plan, this information is taken directly from those documents. So those figures are from the documents itself, not from the department's documents. So, and I think Commissioner has spoken about what the reason could be why they are actually different. But I think from a departmental point of view, it would be important to identify which end target that you're choosing to do that budget estimation. Regarding the 203,000 rand for fruitless and wasteful expenditure, in the annual report, they only speak about tickets that have not been used. They don't specify World Cup tickets. This is the 2011-2012 annual report. So I suspect that there are something to other tickets that have not been used, not the World Cup tickets. I think this particular issue we probably pick up if there is an issue regarding that in the 2010-2011 annual report. Just finally, in terms of whether there should be more money made available. And I think that our acting chair has covered quite a lot of ground in terms of this. But I would just like to add that when you look at the performance information or the non-financial target information, underpinning that of budgetary consideration. But when you look at the historical picture, we see that the department actually exceeded its target, yet is underspent or spent within its budget. So in other words, it seems to suggest that the target can still meet its target, the budget, that the department can still meet its target and even exceed it, but still be able to manage the resources allocated to those specific targets. I would imagine that if there was possibly a under-allocation of resources, one would possibly have seen a picture where the department spent, let's say, 98% of its budget, but only implemented, let's say, 60% of its performance targets. But that picture doesn't come out in the annual report. So that's just from a historical point of view, in terms of what we've observed regarding that.
No, that's quite an oversight, at least. Very, very good. And I think I do not know how frequently you distribute your report. Because before this I asked you for a report I could not get in my office. And perhaps I'm not more than enough to get into the internet and get information. Yeah, but I think we need to get this information all the time. And let me assure you that we are going to interact with your department and the staff together with the development department to find out as we go forward. But let me allow Honorable Shah to ask a question or perhaps a clarification. But it should not be long with the Honorable Shah and then Honorable Dawood.
Thank you, Chair. The issue of this current growth rate, 1.52, I was wondering whether you had worked out what would be the desired growth rate that would actually help in meeting that target. That's a pending question, but a new one, based on that organogram. It's my experience that, for example, my constituency, when I raise the issue of lack of investment in infrastructure maintenance or new infrastructure, you always get told, we don't have money, we don't have budget. I was wondering, at the local level, at the local municipal level, I mean, where you know they are treating tourism, especially as an unfunded mandate. That's what they treated as. Are there any real, maybe I haven't understood it, are there any legislative loopholes, or is there legislation that can be invoked in order to oblige them to actually take this thing seriously and to actually have, you know, for example, I know that in my constituency we are losing, I mean, tourism growth is retarded simply because of the state road. If there was fixed, tourism would develop and grow with great health. And the point is, they say they don't have money. So do you have some idea as to how a local municipality can be obliged to actually, instead of just claiming poverty? Because the minister says, we've got the budget, as you know. Minister says, got the budget. Minister says, no money. Some idea, thank you.
I know, because I watch it broken.
Sorry, I just wanted to respond to the first question. My apologies for not responding to it. Regarding the new rate of growth, if we are going to meet the target, it's definitely something that we can look into, and I will respond to that.
Okay, now the second question, I think you are actually right, because at the core of the role of local government in this whole environment is that basic services must be in place. Mm. There is no one who can come and invest in tourism where basic services are not there. What we have done in this year, which was part of the minister's budget speech, was that we have reviewed the local government equitable share formula to incorporate some of the basic services like municipal roads that were initially not part of the formula. Municipal roads, storm water, drainage, all of those kinds of things that were not part of the formula. And then we also made the point that we incorporate a component for the maintenance of infrastructure for basic services. So in that operational budget of municipalities, we've now reviewed the formula to incorporate or take into consideration the things. The owners still remain with the oversight mechanism. So it's the municipal council, it's the MCOP, parliament, to actually ensure that the money that is being allocated is actually spent for the purposes that are being allocated in terms of the constitution.
Thank you, and thank you very much to everyone. Unfortunately, time is limited. We want to love to interact with you more. But what we are going to do is that we are going to encourage our staff to interact with your staff, particularly around areas where things are not there, and as we interact with partners as well, so that we balance our information, we enrich our oversight, and we reach conclusions that are much more informed than has been up to now. But all you have demonstrated is that our institutions of democracy are doing their work. It's only that sometimes the profile is not elevated enough. And perhaps that has got to be done at a governmental level, where we want to elevate our profile so that the ordinary person also is aware of some of the things that you have highlighted. Because it's not only for us to do a public representative to do oversight, but also the members of the public which we represent. So, but our hearing has enriched our information, and we are going to use the information in what has been an exciting and informative and incisive type of presentation, which will help us a lot in towards making South Africa to have a bright future. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Come on now.
But look, we've got to meet Marshall now. It's 1 o'clock. I'm going to fill the tube down. Okay, we've got to.
We have
1 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
Are we going to discuss this program? Just stop requesting about it.
I was a full time.